10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I'm curious, Hunter, as you've been curating text messages on the Carbless talk and text line, are there people that are Team Ben? Do they think that we're... Because, look, I...
Well, it sounds like Chewy was, right? Chewy was
so,
Team Ben.
So what did Chewy say? Do we want to hear what Chewy said? And see if it's as blasphemous.
I don't care if you hold Tennessee to 140 yards. I don't care if you hold the Bears to 210 yards. This is the five games that mattered. Okay? Five games that mattered. Eagles, game one, 410 yards of offense. Minnesota, game one, 465 yards of offense. Detroit, game one, 411 yards of offense. Detroit, second game, 391 yards of offense. And Minnesota, final game, 441 yards of offense. Those are games that matter. When you go through a schedule, you say, yep, they're going to beat the Colts, they're going to beat the wrong.
Chewy, what's the real game that mattered? What was the real game that mattered? What do we care? Brazil, preseason, coming off a preseason. That's cute. But Chewy knows this. The game that really counts was the playoff game. Period. Fin. That's the game that mattered. So for everybody that says, discount that. Well, it's a take a look at the big picture. Blah, blah, blah. What do you do when you're scouting teams? You look at the last 4 weeks, because teams change. Injuries happen. Teams either elevate or they get worse. Green Bay got a lot better. Their defense got a lot better. And the game that mattered, there's only five games that count, so chew. That game didn't matter? The Eagles playoff game? Like, I get it, and you could say the same thing about all this other stuff. Yeah. The game that really mattered in the end of this season, this defense played at a high level, and I would argue this defense in the playoffs would have been one of the higher-ranked best defenses in the playoffs. Were they the best? No, Philly's better. That's why they're there. That's why I said, if Green Bay can beat Philadelphia, Katie barred the door. I believe was my exact quote. Well, Katie barred the door, and Philly's in the Super Bowl. Yeah. You didn't get the door barred. It happens. Katie goes home. It happens. Katie'd love to be going down to New Orleans. Katie ain't going. Philly's going.
Who's Katie?
It's an old saying.
I'm not sure how that
Katie
saying
barred
came
the door.
Up, but it's a fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun little saying.
Boomer saying. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, boomer. Again,
I've been called worse.
I've had a few
I've been
people
told
say,
I wasn't
"Well,
listening," which is Katie barred the door too.
Don't roll your eyes at me, 48 minutes to go.
Why don't you hit the road early?
Joshy tells me it's from a poem written in 1881, Katie barred the door.
Of course, so we'll, Josh would know that.
That is boomerish. That could be boomerish.
From a statistical perspective, and again, you can make statistics say whatever you want them to say if you dig deep enough. But the Packers defense finished fifth in the league in total defense. They gave up an average of 314.5 yards a game. By the way, Chewy mentioned the first Packers-Vikings game. He transposed the numbers. The Packers were the team with 465 yards of offense that day, the losers. The Vikings had 374 yards of offense that day, not 465.
Interesting. And do we care
also,
about yards?
Thank you for... taking the words right out of my mouth, because there's a couple of folks in the YouTube comments that say, well, let's talk about yards, not points. First of all, I don't think yards are a better indicator than points. I think points, and I think red zone defense, and I think third down defense, and I think takeaways are the four things that tell you whether your defense is really good or not. Okay? And in those categories, the Green Bay Packers certainly could have been better. They finished 20th in the league in red zone defense. Certainly you can argue that they needed to be better there. Third down defense, they were 12th. In takeaways, they were fourth. And in scoring defense, they were sixth. Now, you want to say that they weren't that good in some of the biggest games? Sure. Have you broken down what other top defenses did in games against other top opponents? I doubt you have. I doubt you can tell me which games, how Philadelphia fared defensively against Washington, for example, right? We know they scored, they gave up a pretty significant number of points and lost late in the game to Washington in one of their matchups, right? They did not do that in the playoff game. They won that one handily, going away. But their three losses on the season were to the Falcons in week two, the Buccaneers, who they gave up 33 points to in week four, and then that loss to the Commanders, 36-33 on December 22nd. So, again, do the Eagles get the benefit of the doubt? Do we say of the Eagles, well, you know, Jaden Daniels, he was really cooking at that point, right? They gave up a total of 368 yards in that game, but they did give up 36 points. Like, I understand frustration for fans. I get it. And I understand if Ben is tapping into that or Chewy is tapping into that. But the fact of the matter is that this defense played well enough to win a lot of games. Did they play well enough to win the Super Bowl? No, but no one ever said that. But are they, this is the question I have. Going into 2025, not knowing who'll be drafted, not knowing what they'll do in free agency, which side of the ball do you feel like is closer to championship level? I don't know how you can argue that you think the offense is based on the failure of the wide receiving group to take a significant step forward, the failure of the quarterback, injuries a factor, but not the only factor, of him taking a big leap forward from the great success he had in the second half of his first year as the starter. Josh Jacobs was fantastic. There's no denying that. But if you have to pick, I'll put it in a poll form on the Will DeAntausch Twitter feed. I'm not saying it'll be a canyon, but I don't know what your argument is to say that you think the offense is closer to being championship level than the defense is for the Green Bay Packers. Tell me why I am being myopic and not seeing the other side of that argument, Tausch.
No, it's defense. It's not close. I think there's more questions were answered by Jeff Hafley than what Matt LaFleur's offense. And I'm not sure who would argue with that. You can. You'd be wrong, but you can. There are some things on both sides that need to be improved, but I certainly feel like you can pinpoint and say, yep, this is what we need, and do that on the defensive side of the ball easier than you can on the offensive side of the ball. The defense was more consistent this season than our offense was. Period. Thin. I can't think of one game, even the rout against the Saints, that I came out of a game thinking, boy, our offense was sharp the whole game. Is there one game that you can look back and say, man, were we sharp for four quarters? Boy, we didn't have penalties, or we didn't have sloppy play. We had coach talking about sloppy play after the 17th game of the season on offense.
A lot. For 3.5 quarters in Detroit. But again, we talked about it after that game, right? They got off to a slow start in a game that was a shootout against the highest scoring offense in the league, and that's what cost them. Yeah, the defense could have played better. Yeah, they could have limited them to fewer than 31 points. But again, they failed to get the stop as they drove for the game-winning field goal. All fair criticisms of the Jeff Hafley defense in that loss to the Detroit Lions on that Thursday night in early December. Totally agree. But to Tausch's point, if I'm picking out a game where they were the best offensively, that one is the one where they played their best against a very good opponent. A defense that was decimated with injuries but still finished in the top 10 in the league in most categories. And they were at their best, I would argue, for the longest duration of in an entire game in that game. And it still wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to put this poll in the field. We'll take your thoughts again. Hunter is on the Carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776. We'll get to some of your text messages there. Tausch, tell us a little bit about what Fortrea has got going on before we move forward.
They got a bunch of studies for you to pick up a little extra cash. Healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study 2 stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-ups. $13,820 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
I'll get the poll in the field now. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone.
The poll is in the field. Again, which side of the football do you think the Packers have or are closer to championship level on? The offense or the defense? Let's take a quick call to start. Again, the Carbless talk and text line, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Brandon in Tulsa, where Tausch recently was for a hockey tournament. Or am I misunderstanding that?
Close.
Brandon, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Real quick, what were you guys talking about, a remote coming to Tulsa? I was listening to a stream the other day, and is the show coming to T-Town, or what's going on there?
So, Brandon, I was down in hockey in Dallas, and an Oklahoman, yeah, big Packer fan, was telling, yeah, me about they did a watch party in a hockey rink,
Tulsa Packer,
for
Packers.
Packer fans, oh, and yeah, there is a big, yeah, contingent of Packer fans, oh, yeah, in Tulsa.
Yeah,
so
go to Facebook,
I know you,
and
you,
check it out.
You've been a big fan of our show. Do you think we could, yep, pull off? Is there enough Packer fans down there that if we come down to Tulsa, we could have ourselves a nice little remote?
Hundreds of us. Tulsa Packer backers, you can check them out, and I guarantee you they'll be on the show.
There we go, Jason. What do we think? I've never been, so is that something we're interested in?
I've never been to Tulsa. Yeah. I have been to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So I have that state checked off on my to-do list, much like Utah. I think it would be fun. Brandon, you've been with us since the jump. You are incredibly supportive of our show. We'll have to work on the logistics of a road trip because both of us have kids that are very busy with a variety of activities, and we do have other jobs as well. But I would love to get to experience the Tulsa, Oklahoma Packers backers. You are one of them. Do you back the offense or the defense in our poll question of which side of the ball is closer to being championship level?
I think it's no question the defense. Like, I think a lot of people look at this from the perspective of, with Jordan Love in his current state, this defense isn't good enough. But I'll ask you a question. If you stick Aaron Rodgers in the 2014 offense with this defense, are they going to the Super Bowl this year? And I think it's a resounding yes. Like, I have no question that Philly is sent home by A-Rod and the boys with this defense. Mm-hmm. Even given the 2016 offense, same thing.
2011,
I think people look at Jordan,
sure,
Love. 2011 for sure. We're so used to the excellence that Rodgers and the offense had all those years with a subpar defense a lot of the time. And now we're skewed to, well, this defense isn't good enough because they can't overcome Love's struggles. I think that says a lot more about the offense than the defense, though. Like, you're telling me that if Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur take a big jump next year, and Jordan is now at 69% completion percentage every game, the dude's only throwing 6-7 picks all season, he's throwing a couple touchdowns every week. Oh, by the way, Josh Jacobs is still producing. This defense can stay exactly the same for next year as it was this year, and I think we're making a very deep playoff run, even reaching a Super Bowl. Like, this defense was good enough with a really good offense. The offense just wasn't nearly good enough that it could overcome it. And I'm not saying the edge rush doesn't need to get fixed. I get that. But right. I think Goody's plan makes perfect sense because his plan's based on Jordan Love taking steps. It's still the most important position on the team, even though we've got a great running back and even though we've got a better defensive coordinator now. This still all predicates itself on what is Jordan going to do in the next 2 to 3 years. Because if he stays exactly the same and is just an average guy who's fairly inaccurate, I don't think it matters what Goody does, because you can't go win Super Bowls if you've got a subpar average dude at quarterback. I don't think we do. I think Jordan's going to elevate. So this defense is a championship caliber defense if the offense gets its craft together and figures out how to raise their game. I have no doubt that Matt LaFleur is grinding right now, even if it's, you know, he's taking some time off. I know they're determined to fix the offensive side of the ball. To me, it's a no-brainer. Defense is already there. In my opinion, they're only going to get better, and the offense has to get better to complement what is already, I think, a really well-ran defense.
Brandon, quick question for you.
Yeah.
If the offense of last year, December and January, Jordan Love played at that level, is Green Bay in the Super Bowl this year?
100%. 100%. And I think we beat the Chiefs.
I'm with you.
We already did it last year. That's what's so frustrating. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not, yep. You know, I was down in the dumps a couple weeks ago watching the playoffs because I was angry that we weren't there. And I'm like, oh, my God, we might be 2 to 3 years away. We're not. The pieces are there. They're there. They have to consistently play. But Jordan Love playing at his best, he beats Jalen Hurts, okay? And they're playing in the Super Bowl this week, and I'd have to pick them to beat the Chiefs. I don't think there's anything, you know, the best thing about the Chiefs is Andy Reid is magical. Patrick Mahomes is magical. Travis Kelce's not what he was 5 years ago. He's still a great Hall of Fame player. But I'm sorry. If Jordan Love, he's the guy that is need to figure things out. This defense is there. They're going to get better. They're good enough as is with a great Jordan Love, which I know he can be.
Jason, thanks for the call, Brandon.
Yeah, so a couple things that Brandon brings up.
Really just, good call there by Big B in the T.
I didn't know we were calling him Big B. Is that, have you
with that call weekend
from your time in great. Dallas, which had nothing to do with actually Oklahoma? Did you learn that his nickname is Big B?
How many times do I have to go over this with you? There was an Oklahoman with us.
I understand.
Like, I don't know if this concept really blows your mind, but...
Very, very, very frustrating.
All I'm saying is you went to Dallas, you've never been to the state of Oklahoma, and you returned home from Dallas announcing that we needed to do a remote in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, because this guy told me about the Tulsa Packer Packers and
I'm
how
aware.
Big of a deal they are.
I understand. I understand it. It's just if you look at it, I do. I also was listening when I was talking about poverty franchises. Look, here's the thing. To Brandon's point, if you look back on 2010, when you were a member of the Green Bay Packers and the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl. Just as they did this season, the Packers finished fifth in total defense that year. They finished second in scoring defense. That was
pretty good.
An elite-level defense coordinated by Dom Capers in year two, which is what the Packers will be in next year under Jeff Hafley. And they had an offense that was really humming, especially late in the year when even with a backup quarterback in New England was still productive. And then when Rodgers came back, I mean, probably
Katie
the best
Bartadore.
Quarterbacking
Some
I've seen in a game
Katie Bartadore.
In Atlanta, which I was there for. But to the point about this offense and where it is at, and your point about if Love is playing and the offense is playing the second half of 2024 the way it was playing 2023, how many times did we talk about if Aaron Rodgers had had the defenses that were as effective as Tom Brady, what would his postseason resume look like?
Jason, fair, but we can't just whitewash history here.
Wait a minute. I wasn't done. I'm not saying that Rodgers didn't have games in the postseason where he didn't play well enough. That's not what I'm saying. But that 10.
Three picks in the second half against Tampa. Okay.
My point is reinforcing that this defense was good enough. And much like in some instances of playoff games with other defenses, and I finished my thought, there were times when the defense was good enough to win playoff games and the offense wasn't. So, again, if this defense can do in year two under Jeff Hafley what the defense in year two under Dom Capers did, and the offense can do a better job of carrying its weight than it did this season, I like their chances. But from a purely direct poll question sense, I don't see how you can convince me. And I'm open to being convinced because right now it's at 68%. The Packers' defense is closer to being championship level. 31.8% of the respondents have said the Packers' offense. I don't see it that way. Do I think the offense is capable of being championship level? Absolutely. If you have to make me pick one that is closer to that level, though, I don't know how you're arguing offense. So I'm open to being convinced. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. I know Hunter's got a few text messages as well, but we'll get to some of your calls again. 844-770-3776. Tausch, tell us about Coors Light first.
Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It is only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The Carbless Talk and Text Line is open, 844-770-3776. If you want to call and have a conversation, we're ready for that. Otherwise, Hunter's got a bunch of texts lined up. We'll get to those next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Cars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future...
Continuing our conversation about where the Packers' defense stands after Tausch's blasphemy, some might say, yesterday on our program. How is this debate about which side of the ball is closer to championship level faring on the text portion of the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776? Hunter?
Well, one of our texters, and if you you should text in with your name as well. So this is just the 414. First, he asked if the defense would have been even better had Goody not traded Rasul Douglas. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. And then later, realizing that 414 number is not a big Goody fan, also said Philly's defense is better than ours because their GM is better and trades up to get elite talent from Georgia while Goody sits on his hands.
Well, they got talent from Georgia. They've drafted three guys from in the first round from Georgia. Not one that
but
fell the way the defensive tackle did. But the fact of the matter is that if you hate Goody, then that's a pretty good take. I don't know if this is the hill to die on argumentatively about Goody. It seems to me that they've done a pretty good job of improving the talent on that side of the ball. So I'm not sure. This sounds like someone that feels about the same about Goody as retired Navy fella feels about Tausch.
Jason, it's a good point, and I think we have to be fair. I've said in the past that Goody's a top five GM. I still believe that. Howie Roseman just put together one of the best draft classes we've seen.
Uh-huh.
He has guys everywhere making big impacts. And I think one of the things we've seen over the last couple of years, and it started really with Tampa with Tommy B, they draft a stud right tackle. And with Tom Brady, you needed that. Tristan Wirfs is probably one of the best tackles in the league.
Yeah.
You have to have your draft classes pay out if you're going to get, you know, continue to go young. And, you know, hopefully with Cooper and obviously Evan Williams, you feel good, but they weren't the guys. They had Cooper DeJean come in, and when he stepped in, defense got a lot better. Quintavian, I don't remember his last name, the corner.
Quinyon Mitchell?
Another guy. Another guy. Good year. Then you start just looking at what Howie Roseman has done. He's got the veterans. I can't argue. I am a Goot stan. I'm very upfront about that. Howie Roseman's done a better job building out a roster.
Yeah, he also got Zach Bond. And look, this is, again, he deserves credit for this.
Where did he get Bond from? The California Penal League?
Zach Bond is playing this season on a one-year, $3.5 million deal.
That would have been worth a flyer.
He is a first-team All-Pro.
He's going to get like an extra $17 million a year.
Yeah, he earned himself some big-time money.
He's a D-player.
There's no question that Cooper DeJean has come in once he started actually playing on defense, right? He didn't start right away being a key part of their defensive approach. Their defense was not great early in the season, by the way. They were decent, and then they hit their stride, and they've been really good since. That's why they are where they are. Obviously, Jalen Carter, who, if it's not for that tragic car accident where they were drag racing, he's potentially the number one overall pick in that draft. They got him, what, ninth?
Yeah, he's a dog.
He is a fantastic player. You know, that said, they did also beat the Commanders after losing N'Kobe Dean in the playoff game against the Packers with Oren Burks at linebacker, who has played well for them in being forced into the lineup. That did not happen in Green Bay. That is a Goody draft pick, but he never became the player that they expected him to. He was a special teams guy. Yeah. So their defense, they've got a lot of talent on defense. Totally agree. I look at the Packers' depth chart, and I don't know what their defensive line is going to look like. I don't know how much they're counting on guys in year two of the system with a new defensive line coach of having a big jump. But that group has to be better. They fired their defensive line coach for a reason. It wasn't because Jason Rebrovich isn't a nice guy. They weren't good enough. And whether or not that was coaching or whether that's overestimating the level of talent or, look, you and I love Kenny Clark. He is one of my favorites on this team. But he did not play up to his contract or up to expectations. He got a $70 million extension, 37.5 of it guaranteed, and he had one sack. He did not play well enough. You can't, Tausch, help me understand this. How hard is it for you to be good when the guys that you pay to be good aren't good enough? Because that's the argument to be made about Kenny Clark, about Rashawn Gary. If you want to use first-round draft picks, you can throw Lucas Van Ness into that mix, right? Devontae Wyatt got off to a good start, then had the ankle injury and was kind of a non-factor for a large chunk of the season when he even did come back. So if your prime players don't play like prime players, how hard is it for you to be good? Because they were good in spite of that.
You need your big-time players to make big-time plays in big-time games. That's another old saying, but you have to have your dogs be dogs. There's a reason guys get paid a certain amount of money, and with that comes big expectations. And obviously, you know, this year you could say what you want. The defensive line was not up to what they needed, and their stars were just guys in the grand scheme of things. You know, Kenny Clark was not the, you know, the Viking killer, I always call him, because he, you know, he just blew up the interior part of the Minnesota Vikings offensive line for years.
Rashawn Gary, the playoff game against San Francisco, had that right tackle just on skates. And for whatever reason, there's injury, there's getting old, I don't know. We didn't see that consistently enough. And then you're asking other guys, Brenton Cox and Enagbare and other guys to elevate when they should be more supplemental. If try to figure out what is going to work, Carl Brooks, I do believe there's talent there. I think figuring that piece out with adding, they are going to have to add to that level and to that group and get a spark, because when you have those high-priced guys, they need to perform higher than what we saw this last year.
Hunter, I saw a text message come up on the screen, but I'm so far away from the television I couldn't read it.
It was from Chef Ed, and he one of the things he mentioned in it was that he's not a fan of Kenny Clark, and that the secondary also needs some help there. So it was just, as you guys were literally talking about Kenny Clark, I threw that up there.
I think that the defense is not at a championship level. Again, neither do we, but it's closer. I have never been a fan of Kenny Clark, and the secondary needs help at cornerback. Goody needs to make some changes and not try to run it back. Kenny Clark had 7.5 sacks in 2023 playing in a 3-4 system. He had never played in a 4-3 before, and it showed. He wasn't as good. And I will be the first one to raise my hand and say that I completely failed to understand what the transition was going to be like, because everyone was giddy about, oh, so much more aggressive and getting upfield instead of read and react. I thought if there was one group that was going to thrive in the change of system, it was going to be the guys up front. And that was not the case. Tausch, my question for you is, why was I so wrong? Because I was wrong.
I mean, were you? Because the big things you're looking for, stat-wise, sacks and TFLs and turnovers, those numbers all went up, did they not?
Yeah, but from the defensive line group, I don't think it did.
Well, I mean, all those things work hand in hand. I am not arguing that the defensive line had a great season, but there were games. The big thing I have is four down and what they were doing. We didn't see enough of that. We didn't see enough one-on-one winning. But the defense as a whole did what we hoped. They did create more turnovers. They did get after the quarterback better. And add more TFLs. That's what the Jeff Hafley defense was supposed to be.
Yeah, I will. I'll look at the game by game numbers of TFLs, because that is obviously an important component of what they're doing defensively. I feel like Edgerrin Cooper was getting many of them, though. We'll get to a couple more of your texts. We'll see where the poll question is. I've been informed by the fine people at KBN that they posted the exact same poll after their exchange and after their critique of Tausch yesterday. We'll tell you where their poll currently stands with 3 hours left in their balloting and see how it compares to ours. Want to remind you, though, that when it comes to Associated Bank, obviously you know that they are the official bank of the Packers. I've been telling you that for years. They've been the official bank of the Packers for years. In fact, they were part of the founding of the Green Bay Packers way back in 1919. That's how far back Associated Bank goes with the Packers. But there's so much more to being a customer at Associated Bank than just getting your nifty Packers checks and your Packers debit MasterCard and your 10% off the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online. Those are three perks that I don't even take advantage of. But I know I've got credit monitoring. I know I've got early pay with my deposits. And I know I've got the best customer service in the industry. What more could I ask for from a bank? They are there for me. I just got a text yesterday during the show from Ben Sorensen, avid listener to the program. I got to go in. I got a new account that I wanted to start up. I'm going to come in and sign in, you know, sign up for all the paperwork and everything else to get that started.
How much money are you putting in that account? How much money is in that one?
Not as much as I would like to have to put into that account right about now, but that's another story for another day.
529? You're doing a 529?
I've got two of those, actually.
Nice.
Trying to make sure the girls are ready for college. I don't know if I've put enough in at that. But again, that's why I've got Ben Sorensen and Nuttausch handling my finances. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. We'll check back in on the poll question. Then we'll get ready for the topic that Tausch has been dying to get to at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. That's all still ahead. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Churio, a high fly ball. Back, track, bye-bye baseball!
100.5 ESPN, your new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I remember the nights when we're young, dumb, and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I can see you in my sweatshirt.
Continuing our conversation about where the Packers' offense and defense are, and I want to apologize because, as you know, Tausch, whenever I'm outside of my basement, I'm a little bit out of sorts. And I know Jeff and Madison called to talk about how he thought the offense is closer to championship level. I would have liked to have heard that, but I didn't get to his call and he had something else to do, so he dropped. Here is where the polling currently stands from KBN's poll yesterday. Which Packers unit is closer to championship level, the offense or the defense? Defense 71%, offense 29%. Okay. Our poll, which is worded almost but not entirely the same. On which side of the ball do you think the Packers are closer to being championship level or Super Bowl level? The Jordan Love-led offense or the Jeff Hafley-led defense? 73.8% defense, 26.2% offense. So still most, over 70% in both polls saying defense. I would have liked to have heard Jeff's argument, because what is the argument on behalf of the offense, do you think?
Josh Jacobs. Run game is better. And you just figure a few things out. Jordan Love's healthy. You pick up a number one wide out. Tucker Kraft got a lot better. There's arguments to be made. But I just, again, watching the season, consistency matters. The defense got consistently better, and you make a really good argument that our offense got consistently worse. Look at how we finished the season off offensively. And was it better than what we saw in the beginning of the season?
No.
I don't think so. Like, it was sloppier. The antennas were up, and that's why I picked Philly. When I heard old boy say, sloppy, 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 get it fixed, that's like September stuff. You're saying that in January. That door ain't going to be Katie'd. Tell you that.
I've never heard it delivered quite that way. I don't think their offense got better as the season went on. I think Josh Jacobs got better. And that is, you want to know how, think about how you were feeling as a Packers fan at this time last year. Today, it was 364 days ago. Last year was not a leap year, was it? Maybe it was. Jeff Hafley, the news broke of Jeff Hafley's hiring on January 31st, 2024. So tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of his hiring.
Isn't February the leap year, though? Isn't February the add? You don't add a 32nd day to January.
But you still would have gone.
You would still need the extra day in the calculation to 365 or 366 days, though.
But it's January. It's not
February. But over the course of a year, you got to go through February. You still go through the February.
February 29.
You still go through the February. If he was hired on the 31st of January, you would have gone through that next February right there. So was there 28 or 29 days in that month? Jason's not talking about this year's February. He's talking about last year's. Normally, Jason isn't the one that needs an interpreter. This is weird.
All right. It is weird.
I agree.
Be that as it may, it was one day shy of a year ago that the Green Bay Packers hired Jeff Hafley. And
it
how were you feeling?
Year, so it's actually 2 days. That's a shame. So.
I think it's time for you to tell. We had one more day last year then, and you love to go more or less on Prize Picks, which apparently we've got another read for them. And I'll get make sure
we
I get
do.
Big
Prize Picks,
game in.
The best place to get real money sports action. 10 million members, billions of dollars, and it is simple to play. More or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. And the big game is almost here, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash. Use those sports opinions. Make yourself a little cash. You think that the Chiefs, the Kansas City, Mahomes, oh, you think big stuff? Hey, turn your opinions into some real cash. Prize Picks is also giving away a free pick for the big game, where one of the starting quarterbacks, Mahomes, will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. So if you're correct on that, you only need one other projection can win real cash. Check out the promos tab to tail any of our super sweat milli winners big game lineups. If you tail a lineup that goes a 3, a 4, a 3, you can win a split of $1 million in promo funds. That's probably why they call it the Super Sweat Millie Winners Big Game Lineups. Download the app today. Use that code WI. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI. $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run
your
big
game. That's how Jim Rome would do it right there.
I've heard
that
him
voice
do it.
Is
yeah,
he's Rome-y.
It's not nearly as powerful as we do it, though. It's more. Run your game. Drones. Yeah. The 11 o'clock hour starts
in
2 minutes.
Did you say drones? Yeah, I don't think it's drones.
Clones? What was it?
I don't know. It's leap year. The hell with it. Just say whatever you want. It's leap year.
I think they're clones, not drones. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.